I have been continuing on with our Bible study out of the book of Galatians on Wednesday night, and that's where we are going to be tonight. Now, what I'm going to encourage you to do before I get started, or as I am getting into this, is usually on Wednesday night we always have prayer requests, and we have a time of prayer together. And so what I would like to do is, if you have a specific prayer request, if you will put that in the comments, and everybody will be able to see what you put in there. So I will say, you know, don't put anything in there you don't want potentially spread around the world. You know, you don't want to put anybody's personal information or sensitive things in there, because it can be seen by hundreds of people. So that being said, if you have a prayer request, or maybe you just want to type in the comment and say, hey, pray for me, and I'll be able to see that. And then after the broadcast is over, what everybody will be able to do will be to go through those comments, and if you have a prayer request, everybody will be able to pray specifically for whatever you put in the comments. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then after the broadcast is over tonight, I keep calling it a broadcast, I guess that's what you call it, after the live Bible study is over, what you can do, you can go back through with your family. I'm going to get together with my family. We'll go down through the comments, and we will have a time of prayer together. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so I'm going to do that when we get done and we're offline, and I'm going to do that with my family. I would encourage you to do that with your family, or whoever it is you're around, or you know what, if you're by yourself, you can pray. And so we can all see what the requests are, and we can pray collectively for those. And I believe that's probably right now the best option to deal with that. If you have something really specific, really personal, or something you can't put on here, you can always call me, one of our deacons, be in contact with people in the church, and let's check on one another and love one another like we ought to. And so, that being said, I wanted to mention that as we, or before I get started tonight, I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and I certainly want us to remember our country, our president, our leaders, doctors, nurses, first responders. There's so much going on in our nation. I have talked with a couple of missionaries this week. One we have that is actually in New York City, and he said they were getting along good and they were still trying to serve the Lord and happy to be able to do that. Nobody in their church was sick, and they did have somebody's grandma in the church had had the virus and was better and was getting ready to go home, and he said that was a miracle, and that they were praising the Lord for that. So we are hearing from our different missionaries and different people everywhere having different experiences. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I am going to read out of Galatians chapter number 4. So I want to encourage you to have your Bible, and from turning your Bible to the book of Galatians chapter number 4, and after I pray, I'm going to read a few verses starting with verse number 27. And so go ahead and keep putting your prayer comments or requests up there. And also at the end, I will remind you of that again. So I want to pray, and then we'll get started tonight. Before I pray, let me say this. Tim and Jenny Kirby, Preacher Tim, they had a CFC Zoom meeting last night, and we got to be a part of that, and some of the people in church did. That went really well, and I wanted to tell them I appreciate them doing that. I thought that was a blessing and an encouragement, and a lot of our students had prayer requests as well, and we do want to remember them. They're a big part of the church when they're here, and they're spread all over creation. Most of them are not in Boone now, so let's not forget those that are not here, and let's not forget one another. So let's pray. Father, we come tonight, and I'm thankful for all the many blessings you've given to us. I'm thankful for your word, and I'm thankful that we have the opportunity, the technology to meet together meet together, but we're not together. But we have the same Holy Spirit that can speak to our hearts, that can encourage us, that can help me. Lord, we have many objects of prayer, many things on people's hearts. And I just saw the comments rolling up, and there's a lot of people that are hurting, that have needs. Lord, we want to remember our nation, our leaders, doctors, nurses, first responders, the firemen, the policemen, those that are still getting out and working and have jobs to do, and maybe even might be a dangerous job because of the virus that is going on. I mean, somebody that works in a retail store, and they have people coming and going, and so they're right there and meeting people. And so we pray that, Lord, you would heal our land. We pray that you would heal our nation, our world, and this virus could be expelled, and that there could be a cure. Lord, we just pray for your will to be done. We pray that we would learn from this what you would have us to learn, and that it would change our lives for the better. And Lord, we pray for that. We pray that you'd be glorified and magnified. Help us in the study tonight, I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. And so we want to say once again, we appreciate you listening in. I'm going to start reading in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 27 down through verse number 31. This is the, I think, the 16th or 17th study that we have been in the book of Galatians. And verse number 27, we left off verse 26 last week. And verse 27 says, "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And there's a lot of good things there. Now, if you have not been in the book of Galatians, you might read down through that and say, "My goodness, what in the world is that talking about?" Now, one of the key verses, and I've used this over and over again when we're talking about what does the book of Galatians teach? What does it mean? Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Paul is writing to them. He said, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" He's writing to them. He said, you begun in the Spirit, you're foolish. Are you going to be made perfect by the flesh? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And the whole book of Galatians deals with this theme, the Spirit and the flesh, the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. If you can keep that in mind as you read the book of Galatians, it'll help you understand what it's talking about. The Galatian people had received the gospel through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They had been saved by faith. They had been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, saved by the Spirit of God working in their heart. And let me say tonight, that's the only way to be saved. The Spirit of God has to do a work in our heart and in our life. And that had happened in the regions of Galatia. These people had begun in the Spirit. They were saved. They believed the gospel. And now, some time later, these false teachers have come along and been teaching them, well, instead of continuing in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, they had begun to try to perfect their Christian walk in the energy of the flesh. And these teachers come along and said, well, you need to follow the law. You need to follow the law of Moses. You need to keep the Sabbath days. You need to keep the feast days. You need to be circumcised. You need to do all these things that are written in the law of Moses. And so Paul is writing back to them to try to correct them from the error of their ways. Now, it's important to say this. The Apostle Paul never says the law is not important. I am not saying that the law is not important or does not have a place. But the place that the law has is not what a lot of people think. If you look back in chapter 3, verse number 24, you can see the purpose or the reason that God gave the law. What does the law do for us today? Well, Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And so what the law can do for us today, it shows us that we are lost. It shows us that we cannot keep the law. It shows us that we need a Savior. And then it says in verse number 24 that we might be justified by faith. It shows us that we cannot keep the law. And the only way to be saved, the only way to be justified, is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what the law can do. It can, like a schoolmaster, a teacher, point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it can do. Now, what the law cannot do is to help you live a Christian life. Did you know the law will not help you live a Christian life? The only way to live a true Christian life, a life pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, is by the power of His Holy Spirit. That's the only way you'll ever be able to please the Lord, is by living in the power of His Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It doesn't say, keep the law, do all these things. It says, be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only way you'll ever live a real Christian life, is in the power of His Holy Spirit. So all throughout the book of Galatians, there's this contrast, the Spirit and the flesh. God is pleased with the things that deal with the Spirit of God. The things that are done in the power of the flesh do not please the Lord. The Spirit and the flesh, all throughout the book of Galatians. Now, last week, we were in chapter 19, and we looked at verses 19 through verse number 26. Now, I'm not going to go over those verses again. But what we saw in verses 19 through 26 were four sets of two. And this four sets of two were all a contrast between the things of the Spirit and the things of the flesh. And the four things that we saw two sons. We saw Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael, and we're going to go over this again tonight, Ishmael is a type of the flesh. Isaac is a type of the Spirit. We saw there were two wives. Hagar is a type of the flesh. Sarah, Abraham's true wife, is a type of the Spirit of God. Then we saw two covenants. It talked in those verses. And the new covenant. The old covenant, or the Old Testament, which is keeping the law. And then the New Testament, talking about the gospel of the grace of God, that we're saved by grace through faith. Then we saw there's two places. There was Mount Sinai. That's where God gave the law to Moses. And it was a frightful thing when God gave the law to Moses. There was lightnings and thunderings, and the mountain was on fire, and the whole area was shaking and quaking. And they had to put a boundary around the base of the mountain. And God said, if you come any closer and you touch the mountain, you'll die. There's no comfort in that. That's when God gave the law. Then we talked about the other place, the Jerusalem, which is a... Sorry about that. So, it should come back on. And I realize I got interrupted right as we started verse number 27. I think about where it went off. I mean, verse number 27, Galatians chapter 4, where Paul says, "For it is written, rejoice thou barren." And I was talking about that for it is written. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And this is the fourth time in the book of Galatians that he uses this. Now, this comes, the first time came from Galatians chapter 3, and it was from the time of the law. The second time, chapter 4, verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. That's out of Genesis chapter number 21, somewhere right around in there, before the law. Salvation by the grace of God is pictured in the Bible way before the law of Moses, ever comes on the scene. This time, in chapter 4, verse number 27, this is out of Isaiah chapter 54. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 54, and I'm going to read a few verses over there. And so keep your place here. Find Isaiah chapter number 54. And what we're going to do, we're going to read this verse, a few of these verses that are talking about what Paul is quoting here. So I'm in Galatians chapter 4, verse 27. I'm getting ready to read that whole verse. And then I'm going to read out of Galatians chapter, out of Isaiah chapter number 54. So, Galatians chapter 4, verse 27. The Bible says, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, breakest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she with which hath an husband. Now, Isaiah chapter 54. When Paul says it is written, this is what he's referring to. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. So that is exactly what the Apostle Paul has written here in Galatians chapter number 4. Now, the reason I had you turn over here to Isaiah chapter number 54, I wanted to show you the context of this passage of Scripture. Now, the Apostle Paul is contrasting what the flesh, just about nothing, flesh does not please God, but what the Spirit of God can do and salvation. Now, when he's talking here in chapter number Isaiah, chapter number 54, look what he says. He says in Isaiah chapter number 54 and verse number 1, it says, sing, O barren. In Galatians chapter, the only difference in these verses, the Apostle Paul said, rejoice, thou barren. Isaiah said, sing. The Apostle Paul said, rejoice. And so, in Isaiah chapter number 54, what is going on? Well, go back to chapter 53. Verse. This is the chapter before, and the last verse. A portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Then it says, sing, O barren. And so what is it talking about in chapter number 53? It says, he bare the sin of talking about. Who that's talking about? Well, let's look at some other verses in Isaiah chapter number 53. Look at verse number 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and is a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's talking about somebody specific. Well, who's that talking about? Verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, a lot of you already know who that's talking about that was despised and rejected. It is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah was written 700 some years before Christ was born. And here Isaiah is giving great detail about things that would come in the Messiah's life when he would come to earth the first time. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come to this world, he would be born, he would bear our sins, he would pay for our transgressions, he would be wounded, he would be like a sheep led to the slaughter. All of these things are pointing to what happened to Jesus when he came to this earth. And so it comes down to verse number 12, and it says he bare. Let me just say, verse number 11 tells us that he will be victorious in what he come to do. Verse 11 said, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He would come, he would pay for our sin, he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Chapter 54 and verse number 1 and said, sing, O barren, sing, because what is going to happen is the Messiah is going to come and he is going to be victorious. Isaiah said, sing. Paul said, rejoice. Isaiah is saying, sing about what's going to happen. Sort of like we sing at Christmas, joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know, we sing that at Christmas, but that's not a Christmas song. That is a song about Jesus coming and ruling in the future kingdom. Isaiah said, sing about this because the Messiah is coming. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians said, rejoice because this has already happened. Jesus has already come. He's already paid the price. He's already risen from the dead. And there is a great, and at the time of the Apostle Paul, there was already a great ingathering, not only of Jewish people, but of Gentile people. The barren has more children than the one that had the husband, talking about the law. The grace of God has many, many more children than the law. The law cannot have children. The law cannot produce. But the grace of God does produce. And so the Apostle Paul, I'm back in Galatians chapter number 4 now, he said, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. He's using the language of a woman that is barren and cannot have children, but now she is able to have children, and she, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. And so what the law could not do, the law is barren, the law is desolate, it could never do what the Messiah has done. And the Messiah has many children. Paul said, rejoice in what is now come to pass. Not only Jews, but Gentiles, all may now become the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, Hagar, this is also a reference to Hagar and Sarah. Hagar had Ishmael, and Ishmael had physical descendants. But Sarah had Isaac, and Isaac had physical descendants. Nations came from both these men. But from Isaac, Isaac also has spiritual descendants. That is how, spiritually, we can all, by faith, become the children of Abraham, is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 3, verse 26 and verse number 29, I'm going to go back just a couple of chapters there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 said, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 29 said, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I'm not Jewish, but I'm a child of Abraham by faith. And any, you know, The Jews in Jesus' day had a claim. They said, we're Abraham's children. But by faith, I am a child of Abraham. And when I was little and growing up, we'd sing the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. That's through faith, not through Jewish blood, not through hereditary that way. But by faith, we are the children of Abraham. And so I go back to chapter number 4, verse number 27. He said, rejoice, thou barren, rejoice. This has already come to pass. The Messiah came. Jesus died. He rose again the third day. We can all be the children of Abraham. There's fruit in that. But he comes down to verse number 28. He said, now we are the children of promise. Now I like that. He said, now we brethren. Paul does not say, now, I'm a Jew, and I'm different, and you're a Gentile, and you're different. That's not what Paul says. He says, we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We. That there's a blessing there. When we get to heaven, the Apostle Paul's going to be there. The Galatians are going to be there. Moses is going to be there. Abraham's going to be there. Many saints down through the ages. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. We are all, the Bible says, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. Now, verse number 29 says, but as then, he that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So what is the Apostle Paul talking about here in verse number 29? He is referring back to the time in the book of Genesis, chapter number 21, where Ishmael persecuted Isaac. And we'll read Genesis chapter 21, verse number 9. The Bible said, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. That word mocking there, it means to laugh outright, to scorn. So Ishmael, now you have to keep in mind, Ishmael, by this time, when Isaac was born, Ishmael was 13 years old. He had just become a teenager. Here, his little half-brother comes along, Isaac. And what does Ishmael do? He mocks him. He laughs at him. He makes fun of him. He scorns him. That's what he was doing. You might say, man, that sounds just like what a brother does to me. Well, it sounds to me like what a brother would do. Not all brothers, but some brothers would do that. But you have to remember, this is a type. This is a type. This is a picture. And what this is a picture of is the flesh versus the spiritual side of things. Now, what is it saying? Let's go back and read. But as he that was born after the flesh, that's Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, that's Isaac. Even so, it is now. What is this a type of? False religion, fleshly religion, works religion, law-based religion always has. And true religion. And that is illustrated perfectly in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, before the Apostle Paul was saved, some of you already know that, his name was Saul, and he was a Jew, and he persecuted the church. That's what he did. He was high up. He had authority. Let me read some verses. Before he got saved, his name was Saul. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. They took Stephen. He was a Christian, and he was preaching the gospel. And they hated him for it. And they took him out and they killed him by stoning him to death, throwing stones at him. That's in Acts chapter number 7. And Saul was consenting unto his death. He even held their coats while they stoned Stephen to death. He was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. Verse number 3 said, and Saul made havoc of the church. That word havoc means waste, devastation, wide and general destruction. Saul was an enemy of the church. chapter 9, verse number 1, and saw threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And so when Saul was religious, he persecuted the disciples of the Lord. When Saul gets saved, when he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and the Lord saves him and names him Paul, he immediately becomes one of the persecuted. He was persecuted, and he becomes a disciple of the Lord. So his life illustrates the things of the Spirit. And you see that same thing all down through church history. During the Dark Ages, you had Catholicism persecuting true Christians, Bible believers. I mean, they burned them at the stake. They stretched them on the rack. They took their property. They banished them to the wilderness. They burned the Bibles. You read about the Spanish Inquisition. There were groups of people that believed much like I believe the Bible, the Word of God, and they were preaching the gospel. They called them Anabaptists. That means rebaptizers. And so they would preach the gospel, and people that would believe the gospel, they would take them and they would baptize them. And the religious people said they don't need to be baptized. They were baptized when they were infants. But these groups that were preaching the gospel, the Paulicians and the Waldensians and the Donatists, and there were many groups down through church history, and they would preach the gospel. They would take believers and baptize them, like we find in the Bible. And they persecuted them for them. During the Dark Ages, 50 million Christians were put to death, burned at the stake, thrown in the river with chains on. I mean, they'd done all kinds of things. During the Protestant Reformation, you say, well, things got better for Protestantism. Persecuted those same believers, those Anabaptists, those Waldensians, those groups that said, you know, we don't believe in a state church. Most Protestant denominations began as a state church, and most people don't realize that. But the state church always persecuted the true believers because the true believers said, we don't want to be a part of a state church. And they were persecuted, the Presbyterians. And I'm not, you know, nobody today is doing that, not in America anyway, I don't think, but the Presbyterians, they persecuted other Christians. It's crazy to think about. In early America, same thing. And so we find that what he was saying in verse number 29, even so it is now, the same thing goes on today. The false religion always persecutes the true religion, true Bible believers. If you're just sort of general in everything, and all you ever talk about is God, but you never narrow it down to the Lord Jesus Christ, the world doesn't care if you're religious. But if you tell religious people, no, being a good church member, being a good person is not enough. You must be born again. The world will hate you over that. It was true in Paul's day. It's true in our day. Verse 29, But as then he that was born after the flesh, that's Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, that's Isaac, even so it is now. Now, let's go on down to verse number 30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? So he comes back to the Bible again. He's talking about Genesis chapter 21. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now, he's referring to the next verse. Genesis chapter 21, verse 9 said that Ishmael mocked Isaac. Sarah, buddy, she didn't like that. Chapter 21 of Genesis, verse number 10 said, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Sarah said, get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. Cast them out. Get rid of them. Throw them out of the house. For the son of this bond woman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And so, you know, when I read that, when I go back to Genesis chapter 21, and that is exactly what Abraham had to do. He cast them out into the wilderness, give them a bottle of water, give them picnic lunch, and said, you know, you're gone. And they went out into the wilderness. And well, God spared them. That's another story altogether. But I think to myself, man, that is harsh. I mean, after all, this was, Ishmael was Abraham's physical son. And here's another thing. The whole deal was Sarah's idea to begin with. And now Sarah says, cast him out. He's not going to be heir with my son. He will not inherit with my son Isaac. That is very harsh for our way of thinking. But you have to remember this. The spiritual reality is what the lesson is here. And the spiritual reality is this, that the law or the flesh cannot dwell with the things of the Spirit. Law and grace do not mix. You're not saved by a little bit of grace and a little bit of law. You're not saved by grace and kept by works. You're not saved by grace and perfected by keeping this and doing that and all these things do not mix. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, that it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says. This is why the law and grace cannot intermingle, intermix. We're either saved all by grace. We are saved all by grace, not by grace and a little bit of law keeping or a whole lot of law keeping. And so that's the picture in the Bible. Cast out the bondwoman. She cannot be heir. He cannot be heir with Isaac. Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You look back in verse number 22. What does it mean, but of the free? Verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, all my brothers, all my sisters, all the people that you know that are in heaven, nobody is in heaven by saying, my father is the law. I'm here because I kept the law. Nobody in heaven is going to say, I'm here because I was a good Jew, because I was a good church member, money, or whatever the case might be. There's nobody in heaven like that. Everybody that's in heaven is there because they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. The hallelujah. Look at us for what we've done. If you read in the book of Revelation, do you know what they're singing about? Worthy is the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The law never helped anybody get to heaven. All the law does is point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to go to heaven. That's what Paul is, he is drilling that in their hearts and in their minds over and over and over again. You don't get to heaven by good works. You get to heaven by belief upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what a great book this is. Let me ask you tonight. I'm almost done. What are you trusting in to go to heaven? If you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ and what He did upon the cross of Calvary, you are trusting in the wrong thing. You've got to trust in Him. He brings us into His family by the power of His Holy Spirit. Has there ever been a time in your heart, in your life, where Jesus has dealt with you, where the Spirit of God has convicted you of your sin and shown you you need to have a Savior? That's the grace of God. The law, all it does is say, you can't get there by keeping the law. You've already broke the law. If you broke one thing, you've broken the whole law. It's what we find taught in the Bible over and over. Now, Lord willing, next week we'll be in Galatians chapter number 5. I want to thank you for bearing with us during the live broadcast was interrupted for whatever reason. I have no idea. You know, that's just part of dealing with what we're dealing with right now. So it looks like most everybody got back on. I appreciate that. share the Bible study. I suppose there will be two of them after this. And what I ask everybody to do at the beginning was to comment if you have a prayer request. I'm not able to do that from the live, but I will go back through and pray with my family over each object of prayer that's been mentioned tonight. So if you have a special prayer request, put it in the comment section. Let's remember to pray one for another. Be much in prayer. I've already been thinking and praying about Sunday morning. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, tune back in, and we will have I'll try and pray and get the message that God wants us to hear on Sunday morning. Let's remember all the other pastors trying to do the best that they can and minister to their people. Some are doing like this or something else. And let's remember them as well. So thank you so much for listening in. God bless you. Have a good, safe rest of the week. Try to stay in. And let's try to beat this thing. Do our little part. And let's be much, much in prayer. That's going to do more than anything else. So good night and God bless.